Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike T. Jump on your bike, let's hit the road. Come on, fuck the five.
Well, hello there.
Hey, how's it going?
Going.
Okay.
Nah, just, tired.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
So I know you've been busy.
Yeah. I got to, do it all again at 2:30.
Wow. So is it an early show or the full length show?
Okay. I don't know.
Depends.
No.
I got you. So do you miss our weather yet?
No.
Really? Because we just had like all seasons today, except for winter.
Yeah?
Yeah, we had three of them.
Yeah, I don't know. It was 78 and sunny, and light breeze off the ocean where I was.
You know, you just need to be grounded.
Yeah, then it was a nice ride home.
Well, let's see. For the last 3 days, I haven't worn a jacket. Cool. Only worn hoodies and sweats. Yay. And today, we had dense fog. Well, we still have that. Rain, melting, flooding, tornadoes, everything but snow. And now we have high winds until 11. Yay!
Yeah. Nah, I just got a bunch of... Just a lot of irons in the fire. Can't be in sixth place. Everybody wants to know. Then I had a guy call me the other day. He got a ticket, took off his helmet, gave it to the cop. And he hasn't called me back yet. He's supposed to call me. So I can tell him what to do. And I'm thinking that it's going to be one of those, I'll just pay the ticket deals.
Right. How's Bill doing?
He's all right. He's,
send him my best.
Yeah, he's just one day at a time.
Yeah, I know. Oh, we have something taking place here. They are trying to mandate and pass a law that anyone with children, it would be illegal to smoke in the vehicle.
Mm-hmm. They've been trying to do that one for years. That's like,
you know, they could get it going. You know?
I don't think so. Because that's like coming into your house without a warrant. It's your car.
True.
And if somebody's got a young kid in the car, they won't smoke in the car anyway.
Well, you know, like I said, who knows? Because the way laws are going today, it doesn't make sense. They don't care about your rights. And they're going to do what they do.
Yeah, but if you
bend over and allow it, yeah.
Yeah, basically, that's what all it is. It's all it is. I told you before, it's like traffic court. That's legalized extortion. You either pay it or you're...
I know.
You know, it's... I got a bunch of stuff where I got the Supreme Court may take more gun cases this week and could address carry rights.
Yeah, I read something up about that some time back about the concealed carry there. And unbelievable.
No, I think it's good. It means you're getting some of your rights back.
What I mean is what they're trying to fight for, but it, you know, so far you still have that right. And hopefully it stays that way, you know.
I got a message that the Orange County Sheriff eased the rules for carrying a concealed weapon. And then all the local applicants seeking a permit to carry a concealed weapon now only have to say what they need, one for self-defense or personal safety.
Oh, it's not like that here. You know, I mean, you got to do an application and everything else, and that's a process.
Well, you got to do the same thing here, but it's still the discretion to check your background. If you've ever been arrested for anything, you're not going to get it.
Right.
Probably going to be somebody who deals with a lot of cash.
True.
But, yeah, I'm just, let's see who this is.
If I lose power, you'll understand.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, you know you missed my voice. Have no fear,
the brothers and
sisters fighting.
What was that?
Oh my! I said, "Have no fear, the awesome one is here." You know?
Oh yeah.
Of course.
Were you?
I went
crown
and got
princess.
I went and got a lobotomy. That's what happened.
Do
yeah,
tell.
And
I think Phil needs one.
Yeah.
You know, there's a mute button for you.
Really? You do that often, so hush. You need to be muted.
Oh, my God. You're so funny. I'm freaking exhausted. Oh, my God.
Congrats on the paper.
Oh no, we were making dough and pastries and pizza and all kinds of crazy shit today. The kitchen was a happening place at school. And then to sit through 3.5 hours of history, it was like, ha ha.
Awesome.
My brain is like done for the day.
Yeah.
And that's why you called in, because you wanted to talk to Phil.
All right. Well, I got some trivia for you, and this is something I learned today in my history class. So here's a little trivia. Now, you people in front of your computers, because I'm on the phone. Don't go Googling this shit. I just want a legitimate answer. If you guys know,
I'm not. I'm in the garage.
All right. So, do you guys know what Worcestershire sauce is?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's a steak sauce.
Okay. Phil, you agree?
Well, it's used for other things, too. It's like a seasoning sauce.
Okay. But what is it exactly?
It's all the leftover shit ground up into something.
No.
It's fermented.
It's fermented fish. And
what?
It comes out.
Oh, I put that stuff in my burgers.
Listen to me. They started making this stuff back in, like, we're talking, like, when Alexander the Great and shit was happening. And they just, like, bumbled onto it. And fermented fish made Worcestershire sauce. And Italy was known as, like, one of the first places for condiments. And if you were of elite status, you were able to have Worcestershire sauce. just a little tidbit for everybody, a little history. In my that's my food history class. We learn all about stuff like that and like the spice wars and basically like the Navy that was back then was run all by pirates. Your first pirates came out of that whole Italian boot, like up and down the coastline there, because it was like easy for travel and trade, and there was little islands off of Italy and stuff that took like an hour or two by boat. And there's a lot of cool stuff, you know. I'm not a big history person, like to sit here and recite all kinds of stuff to you. I can't do that. But like food history, it's pretty cool. I'm kind of glad I have this class.
Wow.
Very interesting. Yeah.
It is.
I about had a heart attack when I found out it was fermented fish. I was like, what? Yeah. And the thing is that they would hire people to keep watch over these big, like, clay pots with lids with fermented fish, because you'd have to steer it every so often.
Right.
Can you imagine what that shit smelled like? You know? And yeah, exactly. You know, and from my understanding, it's still on some levels made the same ways today, except, you know, they got to throw a few odds and ends in it to make, give it a shelf life of about 25 years, you know, whatever. But,
wow.
Yeah, the main ingredient is still made with fish. So there you go. Next time you make your meatloaf and you put that stuff in there, or you put it on your hamburger, you put fermented fish all over your stuff. Bon appetit, man.
It's still good.
Yeah, I like it. I cook with it.
Did we
lose Phil? Earth to Phil. Come in, Phil.
I was letting you talk. Reading something. I was just telling Nora that in Orange County, which a bunch of people hit me up on wanting to know what holster they could get for which gun, and the Orange County Sheriff eases the rules for carrying a concealed weapon. So the local applicants must, seeking a permit to carry a concealed weapon, not only have to say that they need it for one for self-defense or personal safety. Previously, applicants were required to prove good cause, a standard that typically limited concealed weapons in Orange County to people who carry large sums of cash or valuables or could prove an existing mortal threat.
Wow.
So because I'm not getting the best reception, so they want to okay it, or they want to take it away?
They okayed it. They okayed it. They used it because the sheriff got in a lot of trouble. Everybody jumped on the bandwagon, but what it is, it's a concealed weapons permit. These are the requirements. The cost for a standard 2-year permit is $195.22. You must be full-time Orange County, California resident. You must pass the background check. At an interview, you must have the following: a birth certificate, a valid California driver's license, 2 recent passport photos, good cause statement, documents in support of a request, military discharge papers, if applicable, and copies of 2 most recent utility booths to prove you're a full-time resident. Completed Department of Justice application, and the source for all this was the Orange County Sheriff.
Wow.
What happened was the February 13th ruling by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals was widely seen as the court's attempt to unify the vast differences in how the states, urban and rural counties, issue concealed weapon permits. Urban counties tended to be much higher at issuing permits, while rural counties were more expensive in interpreting and applications good cause assertion. San Diego County, which was a defendant in the case, hasn't filed an appeal. Court's 2-1 decision, though the deadline is February 27th. It's unclear if the new rules in Orange County will lead to many more new concealed weapons permits. February 13th ruling has his agency has received more inquiries from Orange County residents presumably interested in getting a concealed weapon permit, but it's too early to know if these inquiries have translated into more applications. He's not going to guess, and he said he wouldn't guess on how many applicants might come to his agency after announcing the new rule.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Not all the counties in California have opted to change their existing concealed weapon permits good cause guidelines. On the Los Angeles County Sheriff's website, applicants are forewarned that good cause shall exist only if there is convincing evidence of a clear and present danger to life or of great bodily harm to the applicant, his spouse, a dependent child, which cannot be adequately dealt with by existing law enforcement resources. The San Diego County Sheriff hasn't changed the policy either, though officials there said it's under review. So it's everybody's on the offensive now.
Sure.
Because, like, right now, the latest FBI report, violent crime not way down in 2013. During the same time, gun sales reached all-time highs. Go figure.
Yeah.
Wow. The latest FBI report, violent crime way down in 2013. During the same time, gun sales reached an all-time high. The report covers the 2013. Some might be surprised to learn that the crime fell really substantially across the board. According to the report, violent crime is down 4.4%. Murder rate is down 6.9%. Both of these are in comparison to the same period in 2012. This may be a surprise to some because during 2013, particularly the first half of 2013, gun stores could not keep any firearms on the shelves. Many vendors were sold out of popular models for months and then during 2013. You got a question? Did you have a question?
Who? Who are you talking to?
Oh.
Eden Winnie. I thought somebody said something. Preliminary figures indicate that as law enforcement agencies throughout the nation reported a decrease of 5.4% in the number of violent crimes brought to their attention for the first 6 months of 2013. Which was compared to the figures in 2012. The violent crime category includes murder, forcible rape, and aggravated assault. The number of property crimes from January to June 13 decreased 5.4% while compared to data with the same period in 2012. Property crimes include burglary, larceny, theft, and motor vehicle theft. Arson is also a property crime. The data for arson is not included in property crime totals. Figures for 2013 indicate arson decreased 15.6% when compared to the figures from the year before. But it's been a lot, it's the rates, all the violent crime in particular murder rates, they've been falling on an average for the last 30 years. The only people I hear about getting shot or murdered is ones by the cops. You never hear about anybody else getting shot or murdered, you only hear when the cops do it.
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, now this guy decides he wants to know what the ethnic statistical data is.
That would be interesting.
Well, it's because he wants a report on one race.
Well, no, I would like, you know, the whole enchilada, you know, rich areas, the poor areas, you know, that would be interesting statistic-wise so you could see the bulk of what's happening because statistics are always pretty cool, you know, because it gives you a nice little percentage of what exactly is going on. But the thing is, you know, it'd have to be done honestly and independently and all that other bullshit because one side is going to be more biased than the other, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know if you know what Obama did yesterday. They put a person in every newsroom in the United States.
What?
They put person in every newsroom in the United States to watch what gets told, how it gets told, where the information came from, and if it's credible.
Is that anybody that is a Joe Schmo, or is that specific types of people that were able to be in these rooms?
Well,
Obama.
Obviously, if Obama, if he put them in there, they got to be some type of government something that they're looking for something. They're watching for something. And that's the bottom line to it. But, you know, I'm sorry if they've got wind of something. I would rather them be proactive than inactive. You know, I don't have a problem with them trying to retrieve shit and do what they got to do, you know, in order to stop something or what have you. But does that interfere with, you know, does it go outside of those lines where, you know, they're just being nosy and busybody to what's going on in whatever work environment it is, you know? There's pros and cons to that. So
yeah.
Hmm.
Nah, it's you know, there's pros and cons to it, I'll give you that, but everybody's up in arms about all kinds of stupid shit. I mean, I'm looking at one where, let's see, on the 26th, there we go, hold on. Yeah. In Menifee, California, police are going to have this is pretty good because these guys usually put it out a week before to tell you what they're going to do. And then you know how many stupid fuckers they catch? And so what they're going to do, they're going to have a motorcycle DUI operation. So basically they're going to go after motorcycles. But it's not a motorcycle checkpoint, which is bullshit. It's not a inspection. They're trying to hide it under the safety inspection, but you know, they're going to start it at 3:30 on the 26th, which is a Wednesday, and it's going to go for a few days. You know, and then if everything's so bad, you know, like, they're conducting it, extra officers will be on duty, frequented by motorcyclists, or if motorcycle crashes occur, look for violations made by riders that can lead to motorcycle crashes. So basically, they're going to say, well, I saw you do this. You're going to say, I didn't do it, and you're going to get a ticket. They're going to be looking for drugs and alcohol, speeding, making illegal turns, or any other dangerous violation. But in the next paragraph, this is what it starts with. Motorcycle fatalities saw a phenomenal drop of 37% from 2000 to 2012, but only rose 18% in 2013, and another 5% this year. Operations like this are aimed at curbing any more rises in the motorcycle deaths and sending numbers back downward, which is, I don't think so. I think if you're going to drink and you get on your bike, you're a fucking idiot.
Yep. Absolutely, I agree with that.
Over the years, I can't tell you how many tires I've bought for people because I just rather buy them a tire and go to their funeral. You know?
Yeah.
So what's going on with this burning desire? I heard somebody had a burning desire. You wanted to vent?
A burning desire to vent. Oh, you're fucking funny. Oh, shit. You don't want me going on and on.
You got the floor. Go.
Oh, God. I'm too tired. I'm doing everything I can to keep my damn eyes open right now. My brain is like done. Yeah, well, I told you the other day, too, you know, I was going to do my damnedest to call in, but I can't function.
Yeah.
I know that sounds crazy, but I'm exhausted. I've been up since like 4 o'clock this morning.
You're whining. You know? I've been up since 2:30.
Yeah.
Wah. I went to bed at 1.
Before I left, I checked, and you were still on there posting shit. Don't fucking lie.
I said I went to bed after 1. Duh.
Oh. okay. I didn't hear what
oh
you
my
said.
God.
No,
you
that's
still
okay.
Well,
clean the poop out of your ears. I'm kidding.
I got up at 4 a.m. and then finished up what was left of my homework. And, like, because on culinary days, when I'm, like, in culinary class, it's a working, functioning kitchen. We're in there doing from scrubbing floors to running ovens to doing dishes to sterilizing pans to you name it. You don't stop for a minute, not one. It's just like going to work, you know. But
they don't make, when you're cutting meat or something, they don't make you wear them big gloves, do they?
Say that again?
I said when you're cutting meat or something, they don't make you put on those big bulky gloves, do they?
Well, we don't cut that type of meat. We don't get livestock hung up in the back, you know. Our meat comes already cut and sliced, and we just cook it.
No, like when you go to the, no, like when you go to the when you go to the deli at the store, and you tell them you want a pig's ham.
You want a what?
He's
like
wondering
you,
if you wear the gloves, like how people do at the deli.
Oh, we have to, like if you have. Like, if your hands are split open or you have a cut or anything like that, you have to wear the gloves. There are some things when, like, meats and different things like that, you have to wear the gloves. But, like, there are other things that don't, like, when we were making the dough and stuff, because, I don't know why because, but we didn't have to wear the gloves then. But, yeah, there are some things, you know, so... Yeah, but we made Danish today with dough that we've been fiddling with since last week. We like had to beat it and rise it and do a bunch of shit to it and throw it in the freezer to stop the process, and then we had to pull them out and do all kinds of crazy stuff to it. By the time it was done, it was as thin as, I don't know, thin, very, very thin, and it took up a whole sheet pan, and when it started, it was this huge, big mess. But it had butter and cinnamon and sugar and flour and salt and a couple of different other things, and we made pinwheels and shit. I could make a pinwheel.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, it was so cool. It was a lot of cool stuff. I love it. I'm happy when I'm in there. And the cool thing about it is that we're a good-sized group, but because we're our own thing, we're closer than, like, you know, if you were in business architecture or whatever the hell, you know, some of the other things are, where you're basically kind of, like, independent. The only way a kitchen operates is with everybody working together. Because you have one person that's not on sync and that throws off the whole enchilada, you know. So if you see somebody slipping, you got to, like, pull them up. Like, this cat today in class, and I'm going to say cat because I just don't want to refer to no names or anything like that. This person got upset, and they shed a few tears. Because my chefs they're hard on the students, but that's the way it's going to be. And I, like, pulled the person aside, and I'm like, look, I'm like, I got 25 years on you. And I'm like, the worst thing in the world you can do is let people see your weaknesses. I'm like, because they're going to know where to hit you. I'm like, go in the ladies' room, and I'm like, splash some water on your face and freshen up. And I'm like, next time you get sailed into, you just smile and say, yes, chef, that's it. And I'm like, and you can say anything you want or whatever under your breath. I'm like, but don't ever break down, because this person, like, literally was trying to do dough with tears everywhere. And I was like, oh, no, no, no. You know, but it is. It's a lot of friggin', I don't want to call it stress because I enjoy it. You know, and I don't sit still for a freaking minute. My partners laugh at me all the time because they'll be sitting back and I'll be doing other people's dishes, picking up shit, because it's like I want to master the kitchen that I'm in. And I, and not only that, I don't want nobody to think, you know, I'm any type of slacker. Because that's one thing I'm not. And today was cool because once we were done with our danishes, the big top banana chef, the big kahuna, the one who decided who was coming into this program, he came by our table and he was looking at our danishes because, like I said, we made pinwheels and danishes. They were all Danish. We had some lemon, some raspberry, and he looked at me and said, "Those look fantastic." He said, "Go get the icing. Put some icing on this," because we had made some icing for the stuff. So my partner goes and gets it and iced it up for him, and he picked it up. He ate half of it before he said a word, and he was like, "To think, people pay $3 for this shit in the grocery store, and I'm getting it free." And I was like, I didn't say anything, and he turned around and looked at us, and he's like, "Good job." He's like, "Excellent. He just, this came out fantastic." And he walked away, and I was like, "Oh, it's like you could breathe again," you know? But, yeah, but he's serious, man. He's very, very, very serious. It's like, yeah. You know, when he
has to be.
Yeah, well, he runs the program, and the program was founded by him. You know, he started it up like over 30 years ago, and he's still the person in charge. So it's all right. You know, by the time I'm done, I'll know how to puff pastry and dough everything up. But I don't eat none of it. That's the crazy part. Like my
You're going to puff what?
What?
Puff pastry? You're going to puff what?
Pastry. I don't eat none of it. I'll take a little tiny piece to try, you know, but that's it. My partners, they crack up because they're like, "Don't you want to take some of this?" I'm like, "I'll take this home for my mom, and I'll take like one thing, and we'll make like a dozen and a half, two dozen, and all different types of things, and you divide it up between you and your partners." And I don't take much of it, so. Yeah, they walked away with some mad pizza today. Pizza dough is slamming, though. I got a really good recipe for some simple pizza dough, and it'll yield you two pizzas. And it's type of dough that you can either do like a deep dish style, or you can make it round, thin, you know. There's cornmeal on the bottom of it. It's good stuff. It's pretty good, pretty simple, too.
How's your mom?
She's my mom. It's all right, I guess. You know, nothing's changed from here to then, but from here to yesterday, rather. So, freaking waiting game, I guess. I don't know. That's it. Where's Eunice, man? Has anybody heard from her?
The last I heard from her, she wasn't feeling well, and I haven't talked to her since.
Oh.
I don't know. I think she's mad because I didn't bring her in that day. I was in the middle of something.
Was I even there for that?
Yeah.
I haven't. I was?
Yeah, and you left early.
Sure? Oh, all right. I was going to say, because I haven't, since school started, I haven't kind of like, if I can be here, I am. If I can't, I can't.
Yeah. But, I got all the other stuff that I had. I just, the computer's fucking around. I can't get to what I want to get to.
Gotta love electronics.
Yeah, I'm waiting for him to, start playing a song.
Yeah, or like the last time. What were we? Maybe 8-10 minutes in, and bam, I was just gone. I'm like, alrighty.
Yeah.
So I've been seeing a lot of posts in regards to how they want to banish the Vlad laws. Have you heard anything more on that from your friends?
They're fighting. That's all they can do.
Yeah, I know. Doesn't mean that they'll win, but at least they're giving it a shot.
There's some articles. They're calling it the war on hearts and minds. Battle to win hearts and minds, Queensland. And it's basically what they did was they're summing up all the failures.
Right.
You know, and they just had a bunch of their cops caught in heroin. I think it was heroin or ice. I think they call it crystal ice or whatever. They call it meth ice or something.
Right.
Meth is what they call it ice over here. Or it's something similar or something like that. In the same category, family.
This guy's got something to say.
A single punch that ignited a potential Bikie War.
The Bikie Wars have claimed an innocent member of the public.
Criminal biker gang violence has spilled over into our communities. That's why tough new laws now target their illegal activities, not law-abiding bike riders. Making Queensland safer for everyone. Criminal biker gangs. We've drawn the line. Authorised by the Queensland Government, Brisbane.
They spent almost $800,000 on advertising. And about what the laws were and what they're intended to achieve.
Right.
And then they tried to implement everything once, you know, once they identified issues in relation to community attitudes and views about the measures taken in response to criminal motorcycle clubs. Facts speak for themselves. Statistically, we've seen major armed assaults, armed robberies reduced by 43%. We've seen a reduction on personal assaults of 25%. These are the firm but fair laws, and they're working. That's a positive spin on them. And then here's this one here is about the anti-biker laws.
A couple of weeks ago, following a Gold Coast brawl between two motorcycle clubs that led to 18 people being charged, the Queensland government announced controversial new anti-bikey laws, filling them with this TV ad.
A single punch that ignited a potential
Bikie
War. The Bikie
Wars have claimed an innocent member of the public.
Criminal biker gang violence has spilled over into our communities. That's why tough new laws now target their illegal activities, not law-abiding bike riders, making Queensland safer for everyone.
That ad looked like the world's most boring version of Underbelly. And that's an achievement. If it's his job to make us scared of bikies, so shouldn't it contain more violence?
They're
going to
start fucking with
us. More drama? Yeah. No, but its job is to make us scared of bikies. It's about saying that the Queensland government's doing something about it. And perhaps if it had more violence, more drama, then you could be accused of being propaganda anyway. So it's something like 0.6%.
Let me see if I can fix this. Yeah, they piggyback in here on him. And then they fuck around. Yeah. I love it when they start fucking with me.
Oh, this makes for an interesting show. You never know what's going to happen.
Uh-huh. Let me see if I can get it to work.
Of crime in Queensland is from so-called biker gangs.
But it's bogus. Like, if you're in an election and you use newspaper clippings in an ad, you actually have to use real newspaper clippings and source them. All these clippings are rubbish. Not one of them is a newspaper clipping, except for the middle one. The biker gang war erupts, and they've taken off the last two words of the headline, which were in Melbourne.
Yeah.
This isn't a fair episode. This isn't about bikers. This isn't about law and order. This is a political ad for the Queensland government saying, you know, and what they're showing is that we're restoring law and order. I mean, what a Conservative government does when their economy is in the toilet is they start a war so that someone else can be blamed for the crime.
And
that's what they're pretty much doing. They've got someone who they've got a group that's really visible. That people they look like the black hat bad guys from the cowboy westerns. So it's a very visible campaign that allows them to show. Look, as Russell said, you know, we're taking a positive stance. We're doing something.
And when it comes to political advertising, which this is, being seen to have done it is almost as important to having done it, and that's why they run the ad.
And you choose the softest target. But as you said, it's 0.6% of crime committed by bikies. Yet he spent $800,000 of taxpayers' money on this.
I think you're the first person ever to accuse the bikies of being a target.
No, it's not.
Ironically, Dee is speaking from the inside because her husband is a bikie.
Not all bad.
Yes, and that's the problem is that, you know, they use this phrase, the one percenters, or the 99% of people, they're actually just middle-aged men that like bikes and trying to escape from their wives. And they drive. They're not all criminals, you know, but they've been branded on television, they've been branded in the media as all criminals.
That's what the CEO of Harley Davidson said. He said, I don't sell motorbikes. I sell the ability for a 43-year-old accountant to get dressed up together and drive through small country towns and scare the shit out of the locals. That is what I'm selling.
That's Harley Davidson.
Well,
on Friday, the Courier-Mail ran a story about a memo telling Queensland police to dress neatly and pay particular attention to their hairstyling when dealing with bikies. Get back, I've got a comb and I'm not afraid to use it. How important is branding to the police?
Yeah, it's very important for institutions in general. It would be fair to say that society's lost a lot of faith in institutions like churches, the education system, government, and police. And uniforms, I mean, police wear uniforms for the same reason that bikies wear uniforms, and that's for unity and for belonging. And uniforms are very interesting with them being neatly dressed. From a psychological point of view, it signifies authority, status, and control, and it's very important for them to look neat.
Under the new laws, 26 bikie clubs have lost their right to associate, which makes it difficult for them to organise the public defence. But they haven't been entirely silent. The Brisbane Bandidos announced they were disbanding and handed in their colours.
Cast aside under the weight of the law, these patches and colours belonging to the Maruka chapter of the Bandidos are headed back to Bandidos headquarters. So much for the gang's motto, Forever Bandidos.
They're surrendering all of their Bandidos insignia, which represents membership to the national chapter.
Now, clearly those colours were spread out for the cameras. You could have just stacked them in a cardboard box for the mailman. Bikies are also saying they're moving south. Dan, what's the tactical value in sending the message that you're playing nice?
Oh, it's absolutely a show, and there's multiple audiences at stake. You know, what they've got is they're engaging the legal community because what they're showing is an historic precedent of towing the line and doing what they're told. That'll come in handy when it goes to court, and it will go to court. You know, the other thing that they're doing is they're reassuring, you know, they're building some community support by saying, look how well behaved we can be when we're asked to be.
I thought maybe they were just tired of wearing like a fast food joint. I mean, the first time I saw the Bandidos thing, it actually came from advertising, right? It came from the 1960s advertising for Frito-Lays. That Mexican carrying the machete and gun is actually from that, back in the time when people weren't politically correct in making ads for crisps. I think it is interesting that the whole strategy with gangs now, or with bikies, is a kind of plain packaging of bikies. You know, strip them of all colours, strip them of their sense of belonging, and hopefully that will have less of an impact.
You're right, Todd, you are right, and before you know it, the government is going to make...
A couple of weeks... like a fast food joint logo on that. I mean, the first time I saw the Bandidos thing, it actually came from advertising, right? It came from the 1960s advertising for Frito-Lays. That Mexican carrying the machete and gun is actually... back at the time when people weren't politically correct and making ads for crisps. I think it is interesting that the whole strategy with...
If you don't know what crisps are, they're chips.
Gangs now are with bikies is a kind of plain packaging of bikies. Strip them of all colors, strip them of their sense of belonging, and hopefully that will have less of an impact.
You're right, Todd. You are right. And before you know it, the government is going to make them wear high-vis vests. Yeah. And I just think it's just nonsense. They should be left alone.
Really?
Absolutely. Can't bear it.
Really?
Wow.
I never think that you would be on the side of the bike.
Totally. I am completely on the side of the bikies. The notion that a government will legislate and discriminate via legislation and think that that's okay, and what we know is that that then opens up a door for all sorts of things that can happen. Okay, if you have done a crime, then clearly the law will deal with you. Yeah. But actually what you're wearing and what you're driving shouldn't mean, oh, that person obviously is about to commit a crime.
Yeah. And I agree with you. It's cultural profiling.
Yes, it is nonsense to... It shouldn't be happening here. It should not be happening here.
Queensland should know better, because out of all states, they're the ones who've known what political power, when it goes too far, can do to a state.
Look, if you're going to ban some clothes in Queensland, start with Crocs.
The crackdown has also included the announcement of a bikie-only Supermax jail, where crims would potentially have to wear pink prison garb. Who doesn't love a pink bikie? And to find this whole thing to descend into farce, Queensland police were embarrassed last week. After it got out, they questioned a man for wearing a Sons of Anarchy t-shirt. Not knowing that's a TV show. The Fonz is now in hiding. Meanwhile, the Australian Motorcycle Council has announced a fighting fund. Lawyers are advising they spend the money on a High Court challenge rather than a PR and advertising war with the Queensland government. Now, Russell, you'd never tell them to not advertise, would you?
Well, I would absolutely tell them to advertise. I mean, the fact that a policeman has picked up someone in a Sons of Anarchy t-shirt just shows what nonsense this is and shows how dangerous it is. There's also a fantastic advertising campaign in the notion that if you discriminate, it can have despicable ends. There's a very powerful ad campaign that they should be running as well.
Good on you. I don't know who you are, but good on you.
More advertising. The only thing that I can work out is on the way in here tonight, a bikie killed Russell and is wearing his skin. Groom Planet, your home, your dream. And for Gruen 2013, please thank our panelists Russell, Dan and Todd. Before we go, it's time to award the Brown Logie to the worst celebrity and a taste of the second.
Gee, we ought to do something, Fred. Okay, how's about taking a nap? I got a better idea.
The Dalek ad was made around 1967 and the Flintstones ad 1961. What do they have in common? Their tobacco ads. Either one go on, you would have seen those lovable family favourites lighting up cigarettes and cigars selling cancer to kids. Well, to be fair to the Dalek, almost selling cancer. The ad was pulled before it was due to go to air. We'd love to show you both ads in their entirety, but unfortunately the same poorly written law that stops tobacco companies from advertising on television also stops this program from showing tobacco ads, even if we're criticising them. Doesn't stop you from watching them elsewhere, though. Can't say where. If only there was some sort of electronic typing machine you could use to search for things. As a tiny consolation, we'll leave you with what would undoubtedly have been the judge's next choice from a guy who's a comedian, a TV host and a vegetarian, but definitely not an actor. We'll see you next time. Shake up your breakfast. A couple of weeks ago, following a Gold Coast brawl between two motorcycle clubs that led to 18 people being charged,
The Queensland government announced controversial new anti-bikey laws, selling them with this TV ad.
Family ran as the men threw a single punch that ignited a potential bikey war.
The bikey wars have claimed an innocent member of the public.
Criminal bikey gang violence has spilled over into our communities. That's why tough new laws now target their illegal activities, not law-abiding bike riders, making Queensland safer for everyone. Criminal bikey gangs have redrawn the line.
That ad looked like the world's most boring version of Underbelly. And that's an achievement. If it's his job to make us scared of bikies, Russell, shouldn't it ever contain more violence, more drama?
Well, I don't know that its job is to make us scared of bikies. It's about saying that the Queensland government's doing something about it. And perhaps if it had more violence, more drama, then it could be accused of being propaganda anyway, because it's something like 0.6% of crime in Queensland is from so-called bikie gangs.
But it's bogus. Like, if you're in an election and you use newspaper clippings in an ad, you actually have to use real newspaper clippings and source them. All these clippings are rubbish. Not one of them is a newspaper clipping, except for the middle one that has bikie gang war erupts, and they've taken off the last two words of the headline, which were in Melbourne.
This isn't a fear ad, though. This isn't about bikies. This is about law and order. This is a political ad for the Queensland government saying, you know, and what they're showing is that we're restoring law and order. I mean, what a Conservative government does when their economy is in the toilet is they start a war so that someone else can be blamed for the crime. And that's what they're very much doing, is they've got someone who, they've got a group that's really visible, that people, they look like the black hat bad guys from the cowboy westerns. So it's a very visible campaign that allows them to show, look, we're taking, you know, as Russell said, you know, we're taking a positive stance, we're doing something.
And then when it comes to political advertising, which this is, being seen to have done it is almost as important to having done it, and that's why they run the ads.
And you choose the softest target, but as you said, it's 0.6% of crimes are committed by bikers, yet he's spent $800,000 of taxpayers' money on this.
I think you're the first person ever to accuse the bikies of being a soft target.
No, a soft target.
Ironically, Dee is speaking from the inside because her husband is
a bikie. So, yeah. Right. So, no, they're not all bad.
Yes, and that's the problem, is that, you know, they use this phrase, the one percenters, or the 99% of people, they're actually just middle-aged men that like bikes and trying to... And they drive. They're not all criminals, you know, but they've been branded on television, they've been branded in the media as all criminals.
That's what the CEO of Harley Davidson said. He said, I don't sell motorbikes. I sell the ability for a 43-year-old accountant to get dressed up in leather and drive through small country towns and scare the shit out of the locals. That is what I'm selling.
That's Harley Davidson.
Well,
don't you think that
Harley
Davidson should have been
banned
from the
On Friday, the Courier Mail ran a story about a memo telling Queensland police to dress neatly and pay particular attention to their hairstyling when dealing with bikies. Get back, I've got a comb and I'm not a... Important is branding to the police.
Yeah, it's very important for institutions in general. It'd be fair to say that society's lost a lot of faith in institutions like churches, the education system, government, and police. And uniforms, I mean, police wear uniforms for the same reason that wear uniforms, and that's for unity and for belonging. And uniforms are very interesting, with them being neatly dressed. From a psychological point of view, it signifies authority, status, and control, and it's very important for them to look neat.
Under the new laws, 26 biking clubs have lost their right to associate, which makes it difficult for them to organise a public defence. But they haven't been entirely silent. The Brisbane Bandidos announced they were disbanding and handed in their colours.
Cast aside under the weight of the law, these patches and colours belonging to the Maruka chapter of the Bandidos are headed back to Bandidos headquarters. So much for the gang's motto, Forever Bandidos.
They're surrendering all of their Bandidos insignia, which represents their membership, to the national chapter.
Now, clearly those colours were spread out for the cameras. You could have just stacked them in a cardboard box for the mailman. Bikies are also saying they're moving south. Dan, what's the tactical value in sending the message that you're playing nice?
Oh, it's absolutely a show, and there's multiple audiences at stake. You know, what they've got is they're engaging the legal community, because what they're showing is an historic precedent of towing the line and doing what they're told. That'll come in handy when it goes to court, and it will go to court. You know, the other thing that they're doing is they're reassuring, you know, they're building some community support by saying, look how well-behaved we can be when we're asked to be.
I thought maybe they were just tired of wearing, like, a fast food joint logo on their back. I mean, The first time I saw the Bandidos thing, it actually came from advertising, right? It came from the 1960s advertising for Frito-Lays. That Mexican carrying the machete and a gun is actually from an ad back at the time when people weren't politically correct and making ads for crisps. I think it is interesting that the whole strategy with gangs now or with bikies is a kind of plain packaging of bikies. You know, strip them of all colors, strip them of their sense of belonging, and hopefully that will have less of an impact.
You're right, Todd. You are right. And before you know it, the government is going to make them wear high-vis vests. And I just think it's just nonsense. They should be left alone.
Really?
Absolutely. Can't bear it.
Really?
Wow.
I never think that you would be on the side of the bike.
Totally. I am completely on the side of the bike. The notion that a government will legislate and discriminate via legislation and think that that's okay, and what we know is that that then opens up a door for all sorts of things that can happen. If you have done a crime, then clearly the law will deal with you.
Yeah.
But actually what you're wearing and what you're driving shouldn't mean, oh, that person obviously is about to commit a crime.
Yeah. And I agree with you. It's cultural profiling.
Yeah, it is nonsense. Yeah. It shouldn't be happening here. It should not be happening here.
Queensland should know better, because out of all states, they're the ones who've known what political power, when it goes too far, can do to a state.
Look, if you're going to ban some clothes in Queensland, start with Crocs.
Yeah, you still there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, it's kind of a crazy situation over there. But it's like I told you, what happens there goes to Canada, is coming here. And
eventually.
Yeah, for us here, it starts out as motorcycle checkpoints.
I find it ridiculous. You know, I just find it ridiculous in regards to what they're doing.
Yeah. But on that note, I'm going to leave you with that. And she'll be here Tuesday.
Okay.
Takes a break this weekend. So I'm going to let...
If anything changes, just let me know.
Yeah, I'm going to... let Charlie Baker take us out with a ride. I'll see everybody tonight.
Remember